when the letter came to the committee, signed by Nombuyiso Sobhadi, notice to withdraw from the SABC board appointment. This letter says to advise the Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communication of my withdrawal from the SABC board recommendation process. It has been a pleasure to serve and appear before the committee on communications to present my capabilities and willingness to aid the governing structure as a part of the SABC board. Regrettably, my circumstances have changed and I no longer wish to pursue the position as board member of the SABC board. The letter is very silent on the reasons as to why. But the reasons as to why, it's not clear, but what is clear is that she had been employed within the sector. So she was saying to avoid a conflict of interest, she had to consider withdrawing. I think we'll know as soon as to where she's going. That is it, Honorable Members. We have apologies from Madisha, prior commitments, and Ndlozi, prior commitments, Fedi, PC on Public Enterprise, Umubele, same, PC on Public Enterprise. Honorable Minister Rodlo is on leave. Those are the apologies, Members. Anything? Any support? Honorable Mutroba? Can you say it? Use the
mic, please.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the apologies, though I'm worried because I don't hear about the treatment. But I want to give the information on them. But I'm very worried. We always have the same problem.
Yeah, no, we don't have the apology. Move the adoption, Honorable Van Dijk. Are you with us?
Please,
I'll end. Use your mic.
Well, my apologies.
I'll move the letter.
You second Honorable Mashova?
Yes, I'm seconding.
Thank you very much. Apologies are done. We are now on adoption of oversight visit reports, Gauteng and KZN. Hopefully, members have gone through the reports. Where are the reports? Secretary? The packaging is must be in line with the agenda. Where the packaging is. The first item on the agenda is oversight in Gauteng. Can the administration take us through the recommendations and where they must be read? Secretary? The necessary matters to be read. Yeah, we'll go to observations and all of these things. We don't write our own report because we have read it. With the observations and the recommendations.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, before I go to page 22 of the report, which talks on the observations and recommendations, you'd remember that the last time that the committee looked at the draft report sometime in June, it was resolved that the support staff should go and summarize all the responses that were received from the entities. So, Chair, I hope that probably we start from there, where we go to the sections which I will point the members to, where summaries were summaries received from executive management were consolidated by the support staff. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start on page 12, 6.1.4. These are the responses from issues that were raised by staff members, which the committee had requested the council and the executive to respond on. As members would remember, the staff members had raised a number of issues. They are before 6.1.4, but I'll only read on 6.1.4. Responses to issues raised by staff members. ICASA Council was an executive council, and all other Chapter 9 institutions had executive councils or commissioners. Councillors, in performing their functions, are guided by the ICASA Act, and it would be impossible for ICASA to operate with a non-executive council. This probably was a response to a concern that was raised by staff that maybe ICASA should have a non-executive council. Continuing further, ICASA had always tried to separate strike and industrial action.
Where are you?
I'm sorry, Chair. I don't want to pretend as if I'm reading here. I don't know where you are.
Page what?
Which document here? Is this one?
There is a document that says that draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications. Do you have that document?
No.
Visit to Government Communications. No? And the Department of Communication as well as, yeah, on the 20th. Do you have that document?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go to page, what? Or paragraph 6?
Page 12, 6.1.4.
No, we don't have 1.6.1.
6.1.4.
We don't have
on
it.
Page 12.
We don't have. We have 6.1.2, 6.1.3. That's it. Okay, that's another thing. We need to sort out documents first before we get the report. The actual report that we have doesn't have 6.614. There is no 6.14. You can't say that for now or not, because I mean it's quite good.
Apologies, honorable members.
Maybe let's go to another report whilst you guys are sorting this out. Well, the report doesn't have the pages. Yes. Can we go to, they will sort out, not much, but let's go to the case at me. I hope the KZN report is fine. Can we go to the issues of KZN?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Apologies about that. I think it's the circulation of documents sometimes becomes too much for one day. In the KZN report, perhaps it would be prudent to start to discuss on page 7, which is point 2.2, which talks to the objectives of the oversight, just so that we can have a recap of the reasons that we undertook the actual oversight to KZN. Noting that, of course, there's the last one page, I wanted to refer to page 7.
Objectives
yes.
of the oversight.
Yes, sir. So we had about seven objectives, six objectives rather, when we undertook to go on the oversight. The first one being that we assess the progress made in the realization of the rights as contained in Section 16 of the Bill of Rights, freedom of the media, and the freedom to receive and impart information or ideas. The second being to evaluate the efficiency of ICASA in licensing community broadcasting and monitoring compliance of licenses with license conditions and other challenges in the sphere of broadcasting. The third objective was to look at the role played by Centec in signal distribution for broadcasting and challenges they are facing in providing services in the province. Also to familiarize new members of the committee with the mandate of the department and its entities. Also to assess challenges experienced by the department and its entities and community media. And the last one was to evaluate the impact of lack of funding of community print media projects, including relevance and uptake of community print projects to communities, they say. I also need to mention that in terms of the delegation that accompanied the committee to the province, it consisted of course, the ICASA officials and the MDA officials. Of course, and the GCIS and the department officials. What was quite missing was Centec, considering its role in signal distribution, even though we're going to look at such issues as distribution of the signal in the provinces. So taking you back again to page 4, I'm sorry to go back and forth, I just wanted us to at least recapture the number of the stations that we visited specifically. It's not page 4. What is it? Sorry, just 1 second. All right, it's page 6, sorry. On page 6, you'll notice that we visited community television station, one KZN TV in Richards Bay. We also visited a number of community radio stations, Vibe FM in Guamashu, Mubega Community Radio Station in Ladysmith, Umkungundlovu Community Radio Station, and Capital FM in Kungundlovu as well. We also visited two radio stations, namely Ukozi and Lotus FM, both housed at the offices of the SABC in Durban. We also visited a number of community media projects, EzakwaZulu News in Gwanyuswa, and this Ability magazine in Pinetown. We also met with the representatives of the Kawe Entertainment Group at SABC offices in Durban. We also visited a small commercial print media called SMME News in Durban and Tloso FCV in Ladysmith. And lastly, we visited the NCRF offices, regional offices, and the GCIS offices in Durban. I won't bother to go into the details of each of the actual visit, but I will go ahead and start with the observations and recommendations, which will start on page 10, following our day one visit to 1KZN. We're on page 10, honorable members. So the committee observations in relation to 1KZN. these are the observations made by the committee. One, that the station could be saving costs if they invested in a property rather than renting for 100,000 rand per month. That high signal distribution costs contribute largely to the instability of the broadcast of the community broadcasting sector. That the relations between the station and the education institution is commendable, take into consideration the immense contributions towards outcomes for this. The committee further noted the repetitive nature of programming and noted with concern that the content as the station is that content with concern that content at the station is still stored in analog format, and also noted with concern the limited interactions between government and the station, and that government utilizes the station in an opportunistic manner. The recommendations, therefore, were that the committee encouraged the station to firstly invest in a property as a cost containment measure, secondly, facilitate for greater engagement with the Department of Education and all skills education authorities so as to facilitate for further local content development. Thirdly, engage government for ways with which to migrate content to digital platforms, and therefore recommends that the minister find ways to ensure community media is ready to operate in a digital environment, that the minister report on progress made relating to government support of community media projects, that the minister must report on the findings of the impact study so that Parliament is comfortable in understanding what strategies work and what don't on the processes of disbursement of funds and the monitoring thereof of grants of community media projects. And lastly, that the minister takes the initiative to improve interactions between government and community media projects. The next observations were related to the...
Can we check if our recommendations are in order? Because I think that's important. Are they in order? Do they have time frame and all of those things? Because where necessary, we must put time frames. Are they in order? Because what is important, the observations are fine, it was us, but there are recommendations where we say the minister must do ABC and all of that. But we still have to table the report. are they fine like that? Are they, yes, Gordon Adler?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to just highlight to members that the manner in which they are written, you'll notice that there's some that are directed strictly to the particular project. And those, we don't necessarily say they must. We use the word encourage. But I don't know if we can attach timelines to those. But I certainly do agree with you, Chairperson, as far as the recommendations to the minister. As you'll notice, we do not put timeframes. This is to enable the honourable members to then decide how to attach timeframes in terms of reporting back on this.
Members, do we? Because I'm raising exactly where the minister is concerned, so that we can say we don't give her an open-ended thing. Are they fine like that, Honourable Pandey?
I agree that maybe we should consider putting time frames in, because when we got back visiting NDA, all these entities, some of them was a revisit, and the problem with that was that a lot of these companies that we visit, publishers or radio stations, they were actually annoyed that we come back with no progress on the previous visit. And that's not acceptable. So we, our oversight role, if we don't put time frames to that, that's not, why do we do oversight?
No, I agree. I think the report is going to be tabled in Parliament, and then we'll have to say, even in the report here, that maybe before the end of the next quarter, maybe, or Because we'll present it, is there a date for presenting the report? Not yet. I think we must say within a month after presenting the report in Parliament. Because the report will be adopted here, tabled, and then we take it to Parliament. Shall we say whether it's a month or a quarter or the first term next year? The first term will start in January, February, March. Because if she can report within the first term of 2018, I think it will cover everything, because the month may be a problem. Can we agree on that one in terms of the issues related to the minister? Okay. Can we go to Josias then?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We've noted that, as the Chair has put it, that the Minister will have to respond before the end of the first quarter.
Yes.
So we'll move on to page 11 on the visit to the GCI offices, which happened first, right? Okay, anyway, I won't say the date. I don't see what's going on. The observations are that the committee observed and noted the key achievements and progress made by the GCIS in the province, the challenges faced by the provincial office.
I don't think we skip this of the date.
Yeah, it's
the presentation title progress report, 1st April,
yeah, it was
31st March.
That's why it was.
What is it?
I think it's titled backwards, but it was the title of the presentation itself. So, but
this thing must be corrected.
Yes.
Must not just skip it. Must be corrected,
yes,
so that our report reflects the proper thing.
Agreed, Chair. Apologies on that. The third observation was that the initiative to advertise in the community media. So the committee observed the initiative by GCIS to ensure that there's advertisement in the community media. And then noted with concern the budget constraints that are compromising the operations of the department in the province. In terms of the recommendations, the committee recommended to the minister to ensure that the department rationalizes staff support in order to cater for the services throughout the provinces, and that GCIS encourage and, where possible, assist local government in maximizing benefits from utilizing community media to support service delivery. And the last note on this particular visit to GCIS says that the committee shall endeavor to utilize Parliament budget vote processes to continue to advocate for further funding of the department in order to circumvent the challenges. We then moved on to SMME news. And in the SMME news, in terms of the observations after the presentation from the officials from there, the committee observed and commended that the project is spearheaded by young black women, which was empowering in nature and serves as an inspiration to other aspiring women. The success of this particular print media project further noted the difficult terrain that the project has to operate under, taking into consideration the financial downgrade status and subsequent shortage of government support to media projects. That despite the latter, in the May, the MDDA funding is unfavorably skewed towards supporting broadcasting projects. The committee noted with concern the monopoly still rife in the media sector, particularly the print. Noted the lack of support by government to create and sustain SMEs. Noted with concern the tremendous work to change the mindset of both government and society on how to grow SMEs. And noted the impact that the SMME news can play to advocate and become change agents purely based on their struggles as an upcoming SMME. The committee therefore encouraged the project. that it must strive to set an example to aspiring youth in the region based on its success rate thus far, and that the project must attempt achieving survival outside government support, especially in the wake of the financial downgrade status, and that the SMME News must continue to play the pivotal advocacy role highlighted to highlight strategies used to succeed as an SMME. And then there was a noting.
Before that,
yes.
Committee recommendations. And then recommendations you encourage. What is that?
As I mentioned earlier, that in as much as we would like to recommend to you know, your SMEs, we can only encourage. I don't think it's within our privilege to instruct them. So hence we use the word technically to encourage. So it doesn't seem like we are actually using the same whip as we do with the Honourable Minister. Unless if the members feel otherwise, I think it's just a technical use of the language.
We're on page 12, 13. We're on page 12. Start the recommendation recommendations are on page 13. Stop there. But the issue is only the language, the question of encouraging on recommendations. We are not holding. We are you. It's a conversation. Can you say it properly, Honourable Fundick?
I'm raising the issue of encouraging. These are recommendations.
These are recommendations, and we are saying we encourage that the project must thrive. Is it not where we are putting money?
Chair, when we put money to a project, we cannot prescribe them how they must, we can do oversight, but I don't think we can be prescriptive on how they choose to do their business in terms of what they choose to advertise or who to. So we can encourage, but we cannot prescribe. I'm not sure what word you would like there, but what did you thought the right word would be?
No, I'm just... I'm just raising it, Honourable Pillash.
Thank you, Honourable.
So the language, members agree with the language. Thanks, Honourable Van Dijk. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. I also like to note that that particular language of encourage is probably consistent throughout the report when it refers to the particular project. But we'll leave it as the members wish. Just to continue on the recommendations under page 13. Lastly, it just talks to the committee to say that the committee believes that Parliament must play a role in changing the mindset of society to be aligned to the notion of SMME development. And lastly, that through its oversight tools, the committee shall endeavor to address the skewed ownership patterns in the media sector, as well as the challenge for support of print media in South Africa. Noting that, Chairperson, in these particular recommendations, they are quite directed to ourselves. So perhaps if the honorable members would wish to put timelines so that we have a particular prescription in how we address these issues that we raise, because that's another challenge that, if you recall, I raised in my last presentation. That the recommendations we make, in as much as we make to the entities and everyone else, we should be seen to be also living up to the ones that we make to ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Hey. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll move on to page 14. If members recall, we met the two radio stations belonging to SABC together. There will be Lotus FM and Ukhozi FM. The observations, as the committee noted and observed, that the positive recovery path of the stations following the review of the 90-10 policy is commendable. Observe that the practice of Biola is still prevalent. Observe that the political representation at Ukhozi FM during the last elections was questionable. Observe that the current funding model as prescribed in the Broadcasting Act is a challenge causing a strain between the various mandates of the public broadcaster. On page 14 is the committee recommendation, which were obviously directed towards the minister.
Okay.
Page 15, sir. After deliberating, the committee recommends that it will continue to engage the minister and hold SABC accountable, that the minister must report to it on the processes leading to the development of SABC editorial policies, and that the minister must continue to engage ICASA on matters of regulations relating to proportional political representation of elections in South Africa and report back to the committee. The last one is probably directed towards the committee, and it says that through its parliament mandate, the committee will interrogate the bill before it, with meaning the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, namely, yeah, of course, extensively in relation to the funding model of the public broadcaster. Shall I continue?
Other recommendations? Honorable Funding?
Chair, I just want clarity on the word for your law. I cannot remember what it means.
Honourable Member, Payola is the term used for payouts when, like, if you want your song to be played in the station, so you have to pay a certain fee to enable the broadcasters to flight your song ahead of others, basically. So it's a more of a back-end payment. Popular for the, I don't want to use that use, but it's popular in the music industry, so to speak. Moving on page 16, if you recall, members, we went and met with Kawe FM, I think it was Kawe Entertainment, yes, Kawe Entertainment. I think we met it at the SABC offices. The committee observed, noted with concern that since November 2016, MDDA had not managed to get hold of Kawe's Entertainment until about a week before before the committee's visit to KZN. And this was a clear indication that there were challenges at the MDDA in terms of monitoring of projects. Also noted with concern that there seems to be lack of monitoring and evaluation tools at MDDA. Noted with concern that that public money could just disappear without a trace. Noted with concern that the MDDA has no auditing capacity to consistently check government investment in community projects. Noted with concern that power is a testament to lack of proper management and governance tools at the MDDA, resulting in the unfortunate fruitless and wasteful expenditure of already limited resources of government. And noted with concern that there is a general lack of governance at the MDDA, resulting in an uncoordinated way which funds are dispersed. The committee continued and recommended to the minister that a forensic audit of the MDDA in how grants are dispersed must be instituted. It recommended further to the minister that she or he must report to the committee on the state of affairs at the MTDA, including on governance matters. And I think this one was somewhat covered already in our interactions with the minister recently. And the last one, that he or she must provide a comprehensive report on Kawe's, and that Kawe's should also compile a report on their status. So the minister must give the committee a report on Kawe Entertainment, and that Kawe must also compile a report to us. The last recommendation is for the committee, and it says that the committee will expedite filling of vacancies at the MDDA board, which we've already done, and will engage with the Auditor General on matters relating to the agency during the budgetary review, which is this current process.
Yes, Donald Fondé.
Chair, with regard to this forensic order that we recommended, I would also suggest that maybe we should put the time frame, link the time frame to that too, because otherwise it's also just an open recommendation and it can be a year before they decide to do that. And we need actually to start work on the MDDA urgently to get that entity also in a suitable working situation.
Great. Can you come up with a proposal? Members? On the forensic?
Yeah, as soon as possible. Yeah. Chief, so there's an inquiry.
Is as soon as possible time frame enough?
No. Within the financial year.
That sounds better. Honorable Dolash, were you? Oh, okay. So at least there is a Mr. Malik, I really want something that is very specific, something that is very easy. Can you remove the with concern? Committee observations.
Yes.
The committee noted with concern. Can you remove with concern? Noted that since. And then, secondly, on 352, the committee recommends that a forensic, you get that one?
Yes.
The minister, the committee recommends to the minister that this he and she, something.
Okay.
Let's find a way. Let's remove the he and she things. And the minister that whatever, just do it properly. Okay.
Through you, Chairperson, I'll continue on same page 17 to the Vibe FM project. The committee observations, and I'll, like the chair is saying, I will remove the content and just say the committee noted that the station is struggling with resolving signal challenges despite having upgraded their infrastructure, that there are general governance challenges across community projects, that aging infrastructure remains a challenge for many community media projects with dire consequences ahead of the digital terrestrial television migration program, that government support of community media still lags far behind expectations, and that funding remains a challenge for community media projects. On page 18 is the committee recommendations to the minister. The committee recommends to the minister to engage the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services to find alternative funding models for supporting costs associated to signal distribution. Further recommends to the minister to present to the committee and on the department plans to resolve governance challenges at community media projects, and to address the committee of all governance challenges at MDDA, which may be inherently linked to the subsequent lack of or inadequate governance structures at many community media projects. The last recommendation, I think, is also directed towards the committee to say the committee, through its oversight mechanisms, will engage its counterpart portfolio committees to attempt to resolve the general funding challenges faced by the department and its entities. Shall I proceed, Chair?
Are the recommendations okay? Can we proceed? Okay. 421.
I take it, Chair, where we recommend to the minister and agree that we'll put that thing that says, with the exception of the forensic one, that we'll put the sentence that says she must respond before the end of the first term in all the recommendations.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On page 19, 421 is the committee observations related to Ezakwazulu News. The committee observed and noted that the media project is still registered as a closed corporation, that community media in general does not receive the respect it deserves as an integral program of government and social cohesion, as well as promoting the principles of the Constitution, that the media project is doing commendable work to promote unemployed youth, noted that with concern that, I'll remove the with concern again, that government fails to utilize community media projects to promote service delivery. Noted further that funding remains a challenge in general and costs associated to printing are a challenge for community media projects. In terms of the recommendations, the committee encourages and recommends to the minister that the community media project must expedite the issue of the company registration. The community media project must continue to engage youth and expose them into mainstream media, and that the minister should provide a comprehensive plan that will ensure that government advertises the community media project. The committee will engage the minister on how to ensure consistent support of community media projects. This is the last one under this particular project.
Okay. Ikona Nyendo, do you have any other thing? Okay, let's proceed.
Okay. On page 20, we're going to be dealing with observations related to the disability matters. The committee observations are 4341. The committee welcomed the discussion with the project managers and further noted and welcomed the good initiative with its niche focus of mainstreaming people living with disabilities. Noted the support that the project receives from government and noted, I'll remove the with concern again, that the project operates from a house dwelling. So if you recall, they packed us into their little home and so forth. Yes. And gave us pizza. Okay. And in terms of the recommendations, the committee appreciated the informal presentation made by the project managers and further encouraged them to continue to work to conscientize the nation about people living with disabilities. The committee recommends that the project must find accommodation to run the business instead of utilizing the house building. Right. And we then visited the NCRF offices, and on page 21 is the observations of our interactions. The committee noted, I'll remove the with concern again, issues raised by this pivotal role player in the community broadcasting sector, including that the committee is sympathetic to the funding challenges of community media that is not conducive for the sustainability of the sector, that the NCRF has made submissions to the department's community broadcasting scheme, which was made available for public comment, that SARS has not been cooperative in granting a tax clearance certificate for the NCRF, so that it is able to receive the much-required funding grant from the MDDA. Noted with concern, I'll remove the with concern again, the allegations made by NCRF relating to business brokering by government employees in the community broadcasting sector, that there is a direct link between funding challenges of community media projects, government advertising in community media, and the so-called media brokers. That the MDDA seem to be incapacitated to provide the required support at the provincial level. That signal distribution remains a challenge for community broadcasters in general. That there are general financial mismanagement practices at community media projects. And if you turn over the page to page 22, that there are generally high costs related to access to internet for community media projects. Noted the important role the NCRF plays to support community broadcasting projects. Noted the high costs associated with SAMRO, and that government does not consistently advertise in community media projects. The recommendations thereof were that the committee invites the minister to report on capacity matters at MDDA in order to support provincial projects, invites the minister to report on corruption allegations by NCRF relating to business brokering by government employees in the community broadcasting sector, invites the minister to report to the committee on the community broadcasting scheme, invites the minister to report to the committee on a comprehensive plan to ensure government advertises in community media projects, and further recommends that the minister engage the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services in order to address the issue of high costs related to access to the internet for the community media projects. The committee encourages the NCRF to engage the committee further on its role as a conduit between government and community broadcasting projects, and report to the committee in detail relating to the high costs associated with SAMRO, and the last one, report back to the committee on its status for getting a tax clearance. So I think, Honorable Chair, as you had mentioned, these ones would need to also have some form of a time frame, probably the same related to the others, that before the end of the first quarter of the next financial year.
Our next project that
we visited was Ngubeka Community Radio Station, and the observations are on page 23. Having listened to the presentation, the committee noted and thanked the district municipality for providing the accommodation to the station, commended the station for the informative presentation, noted and commended the attempts by the station to ensure integration and employment of people living with disabilities, noted that not all the staff complement of the station receives stipends, noted lack of transport infrastructure to support the work of the station, noted the incapacity of the station to acquire professional accounting services. That signal distribution remains a challenge for community media, for community broadcasters in general. With, on the next page 24, with the station paying over 10,000 per month on signal. Noted that the continued inability of municipalities to support community media projects by advertising on their platform, as well as delays in payment for rendered services. That the money owed by the Department of Agriculture to the community media project. And noted that the MDDA seems not to have a monitoring and evaluation tool in order to track government monies dispersed through grants programs. The committee recommendations are that it encourages the station to expedite the employment of a qualified accountant, because the individual can assist in consolidating funds of the station in order to ease some of the burdens of the station, such as stipends and transport for the new staff, and that the station must follow up with the Department of Agriculture to try to recoup the monies owed to the station. The committee further resolved that it will invite the minister to present a breakdown of how grants are distributed and what criteria is used to distribute the grants to community media projects. We'll engage the minister on the matter regarding the non-payment of the project by the Department of Agriculture, and will continuously engage the minister to report to the committee on progress made to ensure that government advertises in community media. The next project that we went to was in Inhloso SC's community newspaper, and the observations, albeit it's only one, is on page 25, bullet number 5 on 2.1, and says, having listened to a brief presentation, the committee noted with concern, I'll remove the concern, the lack of women representation at the project. As recommendations, the committee recommended that the minister must report back to the committee on the progress made by the project to employ women, because the committee did not accept the explanation by the project regarding gender representation and appealed to the project to expedite the employment of women and that it should attach timeline. And the minister must present to the committee a program of action that will ensure that gender representation is actively being pursued by the agency to all projects receiving government grants. Our next project, through you, Honorable Chair, was Umgungundlovu Community Radio. And the observations start from the bottom of page 26. The committee noted and commended the station for the social upliftment project it is involved in, commended the station for its advocacy of indigenous languages of South Africa, commended the efforts by the station management to engage other organs of state, such as the MICT Center. Noted that community media projects have a pivotal role in contributing to the outcomes of government, including social cohesion and job creation, with concern that only 15 members of staff receive monthly stipends. I'll remove the concern again. Noted that funding challenges associated with the community media projects impact negatively on the productiveness of these projects, including payment of stipends and infrastructure development. Noted that the word community may be part of a problem causing municipalities to want to receive services for free from community media projects. Noted that the high costs associated with noted the high costs associated with transmission of the signal. Noted that the lack of legislative support to ensuring that municipalities and government in general advertise on community media platforms is impacting negatively to the cause of community media as prescribed in the Constitution. The committee recommendations therefore resolve that it shall invite the minister to debate on ways to legislate funding of community media projects. It shall invite the minister, ICASA and MDDA, to engage where possible on ways to review broadcast borders so that they are aligned to district municipalities. Invite the minister to present it on ways to improve accountability of community media projects. That the minister must seek ways to ensure the enforcement of advertising by municipalities and government in general in community media projects, and that the minister must engage the departments to seek ways in which municipalities can attach media projects to their offices as a cost-saving measure on rental costs. Our next project, Honorable Chair, was Capital 104 FM. Actually, we met in the same building. Noted. It's actually 47 of staff members, as they said, that they have.
Just to correct that, and I think this refers to intent, not to the seven staff members that they have intents through the NICT CETA. So that's a number of intents and not staff members.
What must it rate?
And it's out of what, the 15? That's the question. The station further receives support from the MICT sector, and so far 15. So that is staff interns. Yes. Explain that one.
Thank you.
Forget about the full complement of staff, the permanent one, the interns.
Thank you, Chair. I think basically, what is being said here is that the community radio station receives support from the MICT, CETA, and with that support, they have since trained 15 interns in marketing, administration, and production.
Right. Yeah, it must be explained. The interns that are assisted are 15. They are not permanent staff. It's interns.
Thank you, Chair. I think we'll have to reconfigure that sentence so that it's more explicable.
Mm.
Thank you, Chair. Moving on to...
And we are now on?
We're on Capital 104 FM, which is on page 27, but the observations start on page 28. The committee observes that there seems to be an incoherent strategy from the part of government in support of its own policies and projects, such as promoting work of the GCIS within community media projects. Commended the efforts by some community media projects to continuously engage with government on challenges facing the sector. Observed that protests are as a result of lack of timeous information sharing between communities and government, and that the community media can act as a conduit for reciprocal communication needs of both government and the communities itself. Noted that government is opportunistic when it comes to its relations with community media projects. Noted that while the MDDA may have capacity challenges, it has failed to consistently interact with its portfolio, and that noted that throughout the oversight exercise, the signal distribution challenges are consistent in all community broadcasting projects. The committee recommendations, therefore, read as such: having received the last briefing for the oversight, the committee resolved that it shall endeavor to support community media projects. It shall invite the minister to present on a turnaround strategy for seamless integration of government communication strategy. Resolve that community media projects must seek to identify policy gaps in order to ensure prosperity of this very important sector. And the last recommendation, that the community media projects must start and maintain ways to engage the portfolio committee by also identifying areas of concern that the committee must prioritize. This communication...
Are you fine?
Sure, sir. No, I don't know. Something just really went bad with my charger of my computer. I'm very sorry for the interruption.
Are you not hurt?
I'm not hurt, not at all.
Okay.
No. Thank you for your contribution.
I was reading the last one, which said that the community media projects must start and maintain ways to engage the portfolio committee by also identifying areas of concern that the committee must prioritize. This communication must be done through the committee's secretariat. That's the end of the report, Chairperson, as it reads.
Anything on the recommendations, members? Can you go back to, if they are not, can you go back to point 25, the dollar share issue? On page 25. Remember, she was raising the 15 staff interns. How different is that from the only 15, the first paragraph? Only 15 members of the staff complement receive stipends on a monthly basis. This 15, is it full-time staff that is getting stipends?
Honorable Chair, from my understanding when we were there with their interactions, that none of the staff gets paid. They've got 47 volunteers, and out of those 47, 15 of them get stipends. And there might be a correlation between those 15 as a result of MICT Center Embassy intervention, but it's not clear.
So the 15th and 7th paragraph is different from the 15th.
We'll have to confirm with the station, but my understanding is that the stipend comes through MICT Center in the fact that once they train people, then they pay the stipend for that purpose. So it's most definitely the same, but I'll have to confirm with the station again. But like I say, they say they don't pay for their staff, hence they had 47 volunteers. So the 15 was an intervention by MICT Center, by offering training, then they get stipends for the people.
The MICT Center is the one paying the stipend for the 15. Infants.
Yes, Chairperson, I think the manner in which CETAs work is that they do offer training courses. And
look, check that and
yes,
so Chair. That it's corrected, it's done properly.
Yes, Chair. As I said, I will contact the project.
All right. Members, that's the report. Can we agree that this report, bad as it is, it has a lot of issues. You'll agree with me. There are so many issues that we're supposed to deal with them properly before coming here. And the clarifications that we need to check now. Can we agree with the report, Honorable Delash? With the correction. Great. No, no. Okay. Can we go back to the first report? Is it fine now? If you need to pack it for proper load, do we have the new copies now? Is it so there? All right, can we start afresh? Point us to the areas where you want us to start.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members, and apologies for that 6.1.4. Chairperson, firstly, honorable members, I must indicate that the report before you is different from the report which has not been presented. A reason being that the committee went on oversight, met with the entities, had engagement with staff, and had engagement with executive management. And after such engagements, the committee then requested all the, actually four of our five entities, that they should provide responses to issues that were raised during that visit, particularly by staff members. So it will not read the same as the one that had been presented to you, because this one also has those responses on the report. It contains such responses as summarized by the staff. Such as an example, if honorable members go to page 8 of the report, which is 5.2.3, members will note that 5.5.3 is MDDA, right. But 5.2.3 on page 8. Honorable members will note that that section contains responses provided by the board on issues that have been raised by staff members. All the four entities, MDDA, ICASA, SABC, and Filament Publications Board, after the oversight visit, were all given the closing date of the 2nd of May to provide responses to all issues that have been raised by staff. So those responses are contained after each and every entity. So on 5.2.3, page 8, the responses that were received from MDDA following the issues that were raised by staff is as follows. The MDDA has struggled through critical challenges, namely absent executive leadership and weak management over the past 2 years and intense internal conceptual development capacity. These institutional challenges have resulted in static sectorial intervention, suboptimal use of resources, and insufficient leveraging on strategic partnership. This is due to the historic absence of effective succession planning, poor recruitment strategy, and lack of a structured personal development program. To correct the highlighted scenario, the board convened a joint, which is board and staff, 2015 September strategy session to reflect on the state of the organization and media landscape and to create a responsive strategy to a changing community and media development. By design, the MDDA requires certain expertise for it to deliver effectively on its key mandate. This expertise includes but is not limited to development communication, community development, project management, knowledge of diversity issues. Chairperson, I'm not sure if you want me to proceed and read all of it. Thank you, Chair. As such, the board approved a coaching program for management and acquirement of academic qualifications for all staff. To date, only 9 staff members out of 25 have taken up the training program, but all staff were encouraged to present their training request in the current year. Only 9 staff members out of 25 have taken up the training program, but all staff were encouraged to present their request in the... Okay, I see there's a repetition there, Chair. Apologies. The staff was taken through a concept definition exercise to gauge their understanding of media development and diversity because the board was inundated with complaints from projects that the officers were giving inaccurate advice to projects and they had limited knowledge of community-oriented projects. Members of staff stated that despite 10 years of unqualified audits at MDDA, the transitional period has many challenges and sadly the impact was felt by staff. The impact on staff during the transitional period was acknowledged by the board and management, and every effort had been made to listen to staff's grievances and, together with them, arrive at amicable solutions. The board and management fully appreciate the hard work by staff over the transitional period and are committed to improving the working environment. Staff emphasized the need to fill vacant positions as a matter of urgency as this impacted on their workloads and ability to operate inefficiently. The MDDA board and management are in agreement with the need to expedite the process. Over the past year, 2016-17 financial year, 12 positions were filled, although 2 of the new appointments subsequently left. Currently, there are 9 vacant positions, including the executive positions, and the MDDA is expediting the process for all vacancies. The board had decided to delay the appointment of executive and other staff members to enable the CEO to be part of the recruitment process. The CEO subsequently resigned, and the board took the decision to proceed with interviews of executive positions, and an HR and corporate affairs manager has since been appointed, commencing at MDDA on 8 May 2017. In all engagement with the department and its entities, the committee has always put across its objections to many of the senior strategic positions being filled by individuals in acting capacity for long periods. Staff members highlighted how this impacted on the operations of the MDDA. The MDDA board acknowledged that filling executive positions with people in an acting capacity can impact negatively on the operations. As discussed above, the MDDA had postponed the interview to enable the newly appointed CEO, who joined the MDDA as of 1 January 2017, to participate in the interviews for the vacant executive positions. And as discussed above, they indicate the HR and corporate affairs manager was appointed. They commenced on 8 May. And in the absence of the HR manager, the MDDA had solicited the services of a consultant to assist with the organization's recruitment program. On decentralizing the MDDA as it currently operated from one central office due to resource constraints. The MDDA board and management recognizes that this is not an ideal situation given the national spread of their operations. Establishing provincial operations was an important consideration in the MDDA's long-term goals, given the availability of funds to implement this. In the absence of provincial offices, our current organogram has been developed to ensure that there is adequate capacity for MDDA's project staff to cover all 9 provinces. In order to boost compliance with cooperative governance and risk management, as there was an impression that it was lacking, despite there being a good working relationship with the Auditor General of South Africa, the MDDA filled the vacant position for Internal Audit Officer and Risk Management Specialist as of 1 February 2017. However, the MDDA did not have a commercial department, and contracts are managed by the Supply Chain Management Unit, who adhere to National Treasury Procurement Regulations. As a means to improve the lives of staff members, given the hard work that they bring in the organization, the agency had over the past 18 months, the board and the management has reviewed, the agency had over the past 18 months reviewed staff benefits with improvements, including the introduction of subsidy for medical aid. The monitoring and evaluation unit needed to be capacitated in order to strengthen the organization. This unit has been affected by the poor recruitment policy because one of the staff members in the unit is a nutritionist with no monitoring and evaluation experience, and the MDDA has spent an enormous amount of time supporting the unit, including support from the company secretary. However, the board has committed to supporting individual members of staff with upskilling through financial support for further studies and a mentoring program. It is anticipated that this will facilitate a stronger monitoring and evaluation unit. It is recognized by board and management that the transitional phase has had a negative impact on staff morale and placed strain on the board. The focus is on organizational renewal through initiatives such as increased internal communication, enhanced staff benefits, and enabling staff to achieve a healthy work-life balance by fully capacitating the agency and encouraging staff to take leave. There should be better communication channel between the board, executive, and staff because currently there was none. A structured internal communication plan has been introduced with monthly staff meetings supported by staff communiques. The communications unit has been tasked with distributing results.
Okay.
Staff communiques, which means staff communiques. The communications unit has been tasked with distributing resolutions from the staff meetings, while the company secretary has been allocated the responsibility for distributing board resolutions to staff. In addition, MDDA staff who travel are being allocated tablets to enable them to have easy access to and communication with the office while they are on site. Those were the responses that were provided by the MDDA board and executive on the issues of concern that were raised by staff members. That is why on this one you will not see at the end of a visit to each entity that there's committee observation and there's a recommendation, because of how I explained how this one went about that. You have the concerns, provide answers, they'll be incorporated in the report. I'm proceeding to the next one, Chairperson, which was a visit to ICASA.
Yeah. I just have one question. On page 9, can I get the name of the consultant that they use for the recruitment program?
Page 9?
At the bottom.
Last paragraph, page 9, I think that's what the Honourable Member is talking about, said, where it says the MDDA had solicited, this is the very last line, the MDDA had solicited the services of a consultant. Honourable Member, the responses came from MDDA. We'll just have to do a follow-up with them to request the name of the consultant.
Which one is it now?
Okay. Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm proceeding to page 11. I'm not going to read through 6.1.1, which is a meeting with staff, because this is where the staff raised the issues to the committee. However, I will proceed to 6.1.3, which is responses to issues which were raised by staff members. During the oversight visit, the committee held separate meeting with staff of ICASA as well as Management Council. Issues were raised with regard to the status of ICASA Council.
Okay.
Issues were raised with regard to the status of the ICASA Council, particularly if it should be executive or non-executive. The ICASA Council is established in terms of Section 5 of the Act. A councillor serves in a full-time capacity to the exclusion of any other remunerative employment, occupation, or office. The ICASA Act sets out powers, functions, and duties of council, and to this end, Section 4, subsection 4 specifically states that A, council may in writing delegate any power, function, or duty of the authority in terms of this Act or underlying statutes. B, the power to make regulations may not be delegated in terms paragraph A. The term of office of a chairperson and councillor is 5 and 4 years respectively. In a response to whether or not council was dysfunctional, ICASA stated that the authority raised its level of organizational performance from 29% during the 2014-15 financial year to 76% and has managed to maintain the performance level of the organization above 70% for the 2016-17 financial year. This is despite the industrial action which occurred during the 2016-17 financial year. On matters related to the funding model of ICASA, the authority is funded in terms of Section 15, Subsection 1 of the ICASA Act, and the authority is financed from money appropriated by Parliament. Furthermore, Section 15, Subsection 3 provides that all revenue received by the authority in a manner other than in accordance with Subsection 1 must be paid into the National Revenue Fund within 30 days after receipt of such revenue. It is the authority's submission that this model of funding is not optimal for regulators such as ICASA. The challenges with the funding model have great implications on the authority's ability to retain skilled and experienced staff who are often poached by the private sector. ICASA noted that as a national regulatory authority for a highly innovative sector, ICASA is a service-oriented organization. The execution of the authority's mandate is highly dependent on highly skilled personnel, for which there is increased competition amongst private and public entities. ICASA's current wage bill amounts to 62% of the money appropriated by Parliament for ICASA's activities. The actual amount of the salary bill was 217 million for 2016-17 financial year vis-a-vis 212 million in the 2015-16 financial year. The wage bill amounts to approximately 17% of the total revenue collected by ICASA for the national fiscus. In the past few years, the authority has recruited a variety of skills, particularly in the IT and engineering and technology space, only to lose those skills to industry as the latter is able to offer much more attractive packages than the authority could not match. Members of staff stated that ICASA's realignment and its organizational structure resulted in people being retrenched, some rendered redundant and thereby being pushed out of the employment. The authority had implemented an organizational realignment with effect from 1 April 2015. The realigned structure sought to inter alia improve coordination between different divisions in the execution of ICASA's mandate and expand ICASA's footprint to all provinces in line with its mandate for consumer protection. The authority noted that no employees were retrenched pursuant to the realignment. There are currently about 52 employees whose positions are not in the approved organizational structure. This situation arose as a result of the fact that post the realignment, there were more people than positions or jobs in particular functions. The affected employees were placed in divisions where additional resources were required. With regard to the strike and double deductions from salaries, the effect of the duration of the industrial action in the context of remuneration meant that the authority had to manage compulsory contributions for employees' medical aid and pension fund, which are paid by the employer on their behalf. ICASA currently has two different funds, the Government Employees Pension Fund and Alexander Forbes Retirement Fund. The employees who were on strike were not paid any salary for the month of July 2016 as a result of application of the no work, no pay principle. As such, their compulsory contributions for the month of July 2016 were deducted from their salaries for the month of August 2016. Though double deductions were effected during the month of August, for, i.e. covering contributions for both July and August, to recoup the employee portion of contribution to the fund. On 7 October 2016, Council resolved that affected employees be refunded the amounts that were double deducted and be afforded the option to enter into payment arrangement to settle their debts over a period of time through reasonable minimal amount repaid over a period of 6 months. This Council decision was implemented with effect from the payroll run for October 2016. Equally, the union has been involved in various employee relation committees within ICASA, such as the Employment Equity and Training Committee and the Head Office Relocation Committee. Since the end of the 2016 strike, there has been efforts on the part of council management and employees in general to normalize industrial relations within the organization. Staff also raised issues around the CEO's contract of employment and remuneration. In terms of Section 14, Subsection 1A of the ICASA Act, the power to appoint the CEO versus council. In this regard, the ICASA Act is not prescriptive as to the duration of the CEO's term of employment. Historically, the CEO was appointed for a period of 3 years. During October 2016, council resolved, after considering all the legal and related organizational implications, that all executives, including the CEO, shall be appointed for a period of 5 years. The rationale for the decision was to align all executives' contracts and to afford the executive team adequate time to see through the execution of the organizational strategic plan. 3 years is simply not enough for any executive team to learn about the organization, formulate a strategic plan, and implement same. That is what their response is on all the matters that were raised relating to ICASA.
Okay, we'll pass that one. Good. Continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I'll move on to page 18, which is 7.3. Page 18, responses on issues raised by Filament Publications staff members. During a meeting with staff at the FEB, concerns were raised around various issues which had impacted on staff morale. Amongst the key issues was the disparities between the low salaries FEB staff were receiving and those of entities within the Department of Communications and the discrepancies in the job grading. In its response, Council and senior management stated that it had carried out benchmarking of salaries with other DOC entities. Public sector comparison report was completed and shared with Human Resources and Council. It transpired that there are disparities between FPB and other entities, especially SABC, ICASA, and Brand South Africa. Resolution benchmarking exercises will continue to be implemented, and EXO will consult Council on how to ensure remuneration parity with the public service. In relation to the discrepancies in job grading of FPB employees, the public sector comparison report done by the FPB refers to the comparison with the annual pay scales advised in the relevant DPSA, that is Department of Public Service and Administration circulars for senior management services levels 13 to 16, and for salary levels 1 to 12. The FPB income generation streams are limited in terms of the current tariff structure, and this has a definite impact on our ability to increase the current organizational remuneration levels. In December 2016, the FPB conducted a Patterson job grade verification exercise, and the results of this exercise are under review by the Executive Committee. in relation to allegations of not implementing employment equity, particularly the claim that black employees were being overlooked for senior management positions, the Film and Publications Board stated in its response that it employed 5 white staff members, 2 out of 11 incumbents at senior management level, 2 out of 12 incumbents at assistant manager specialist level, and 1 at operational level compliance monitor Cape Town office. It further put forward that there is an organizational employment equity plan which is informed by the FPB equity profile that is reviewed quarterly by the forum and the REMCO. Concerns around long-term contracts for critical positions related to the 4 positions of monitoring and evaluation coordinator, general assistant, corporate services specialist, and application support assistant. A council resolution approving establishment of the 4 positions as permanent and how they should be filled will be communicated to staff. Organizational policies, new and reviewed, will be communicated to staff for input prior to submission to council. In order to upskill its current staff complement, an annual skills development and training program was in place through which all staff identified their plans and career growth path. For the 2016-17 financial year report, the FPB invested a total of 560,705 in employee skills against in employee skills training and development. The succession plan would be communicated to staff. 3 positions were proposed for review operations by the union. These positions were ICT Security Officer, Junior Legal Officer, and Legal Administration Office. The proposal was that, where possible, the 2 positions in legal be merged into 1 and internal candidates be upskilled to be placed in that position, and the same be done, internal placement be considered for the, and the same be considered for the IT position. In response to the proposal, an organizational-wide job review exercise will be undertaken and a business case for possible upgrading of specific positions in line with revised job content will be considered. However, any upgrading can only be implemented in the next financial year, subject to inclusion in the annual performance plan and budget. A concern was noted around the lack of promotion opportunities for staff. In its response, FPB noted that the relative small size of the organization made it difficult for all staff to be promoted. However, there are examples of staff members who grew from interns into permanent positions and a colleague who worked up from being a general assistant to a client support officer. Succession planning was also used, which includes certain individuals earmarked for targeted development in preparation for growth opportunities. An annual career development schedule also assisted managers in determining appropriate development strategies for operational staff and is linked to the succession plan of the unit. There would be more regular feedback, staff feedback on FPB succession planning and skills development initiatives, and management would be trained on human resources, including interpersonal relations. It was noted that there were a number of instances where staff were not satisfied with the manner in which they had been treated by human resources, especially when they raised certain issues relating to pay discrepancies. The matter had been discussed with the HR manager, who indicated that he was hurt by the allegations because he was hardworking and always went an extra mile in addressing staff concerns. He had indicated that he was willing to explore all avenues to clear the alleged racism issue. In its response, FPB stated that interpersonal and customer service skills training would be implemented for HR staff. Equally, management will improve the implementation of culture and change management workshops for all staff during the first quarter through team building, diversity workshops, and value workshops. In 2011-2012, FPB adopted a turnaround structure to ensure alignment between the mandate imperatives and operational requirements. The TA structure was intended to improve organizational efficiencies. However, over the last 3 years, a number of new functions were established based on business requirements, resulting in some functions being enhanced and certain new positions being established. Some of the new positions were established on a temporary basis to ensure that an informed decision was taken regarding whether they could become independent permanent positions or whether the functions could be included in existing jobs. As a result, the organization undergoes continuous changes in function and staff configuration. However, the core of the TA structure remains unchanged. The FPB further submits that a full organizational structure review is not envisaged in the medium term. Staff will be fully consulted and engaged to ensure that all changes to the organizational configuration are clearly understood by everyone. That was FPB Chair.
Anything there, Honorable Fondek?
Chair, not specifically with regard to this, but I just want to ask, the FPB was supposed to forward us information on the previous session that we had with them, and I'm not sure if the secretary received the information, but if he can just let us also have that, we will be glad.
Do we have a response from that? Once the report is, it looks like the report is not yet there. Once that report comes, then it will be, members will be informed. Let's finish this. Let's finish these issues first, and that report will come as soon as we get it. We raised issues, I agree, when we met them. So we'll forward that as soon as it comes.
So there is nothing.
Can we proceed? I know there is a lot of reading that we are doing here. Okay?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. On page 24, 8.3, responses to issues raised by SABC staff. It was noted with great concern by the committee that staff at the SABC were very demoralized, unappreciated, and at times victimized. Staff members that were in middle management positions felt that the SABC continued to be functional because of their contribution. However, working conditions were not conducive and that they could not execute their duties without fear or favor. Middle managers had a case against the SABC before the court, and this is not in the best interest of SABC to resolve matters in court, as there was general feeling that matters should be resolved internally. In its response, the SABC stated that middle management did contribute to the success of the corporation. They are, however, currently feeling that the SABC is not treating them fairly and have lodged a CCMA case as well as a case in the High Court. These two cases are currently sub judice. They are internal and external or sub judice. There are internal and external processes that an employee group or group of employees can follow if they are unhappy with the organization. The SABC always endeavors to resolve any employee issues to the benefit of all parties involved. Staff members complained about the challenges they were encountering with the landmark system. One of the many issues they had with the system was that it was implemented without being tested. In its response, the SABC stated that Landmark was implemented in April 2016, and although the processes were tested and confirmed with the limited project team, the main issue which caused revenue loss during the months of April and May was due to the integration with the SABC radio play out systems, which project team got confirmation from the project leads responsible that the testing between Landmark and the play out system was successful. Another major factor was the impact on the users with regards to the change from Team Radio to Landmark, which affected staff's morale and output and resulted in unaffected staff doing the majority of the work for the department. This was a big learning as when the project was implemented. All enhancements for the major broadcaster who use Landmark are available for the SABC to use if relevant, so the systems allow the SABC to keep up with the trends. staff at Channel Africa raised a serious concern that in the last 17 years, four general managers have come and gone. The staff of Channel Africa was treated differently as compared to other staff members of the SABC. The staff of Channel Africa was, The staff felt like abandoned children by the SABC. In its response, the SAB stated that Channel Africa was currently funded by the Department of Communication and administered by the SABC subject to funding received. There are currently 60 employees within Channel Africa, of which only 8 are fixed-term contract employees. The remainder are all permanent employees. The head of Channel Africa is also on a fixed-term contract in line with the SABC policy, whereby all general managers are on fixed-term contracts. The head of Channel Africa is also... there seem to be a number of repetitions. My apologies. Permanent staff members working in the TV license department were sitting without work due to Lona Vision staff doing their work. The staff has been on contract for more than 8 years, and this issue was raised with Mr. Akuma and Mr. Mutsunweng, who promised to attend to it, but nothing had happened. The staff requested the interim board to investigate who Lona Vision is and the rumor that permanent staff would be retrenched. Staff had former CEO and record promising permanent employment of TV license contractors and temporary staff, but the next day they were given 3-year contracts. Staff at ASD was previously employed through employment agencies, and a decision was taken to do away with agencies and give the employees fixed-term contracts for the period they would have been employed by the agencies. This decision was taken to secure employment for these individuals. Management in the meantime will investigate how to proceed with evaluation of the roles, costing, and determining whether the roles and therefore the individuals occupying the roles should be permanent. Communication in this regard will be shared with all affected individuals on an ongoing basis. The issue of managers instilling fear in staff was addressed and dealt with by executive directors. No new incidents or allegations have been reported to senior management or human resources. It is not always feasible to release and permit customer-facing staff in a revenue-generating environment to attend all SABC functions and meetings. Rediffusions are in accordance with the policy work permitting. It is not always feasible to release and permit customer-facing staff in revenue-generating environment to attend all functions and meetings. Staff raised a serious concern about the structure of the radio education unit, as well as the organizational structure of the SABC. In its response, the SABC stated that management was not aware of dismissals or threats of retrenchments which related to people that questioned the organizational structure. It further stated that on the 31st March, a session was held with all content staff in which an appeal was made to all the commissioning editors to provide any information at their disposal to substantiate the allegation. One response was received from the head of Genre Children, confirming that no such instruction was ever received by her or any of her team members. The request was followed up again, and to date, no further detail has been received to support the allegation or provide a basis for further investigation. The SABC was filled with consultants who are duplicating the work of staff members. The use of consultants was to mitigate the risk of SABC not addressing audit qualifications. The AGSA raised concerns in their audit report of 2013 and 2014 that highlighted the problem of lack of skills, especially in the finance division. For example, part 60 of the 2014 audit report states that the SABC has not established an effective organization structure that places people with appropriate skills in appropriate positions. The consultants were mostly chartered accountants, have assisted the SABC in reducing several of the audit qualifications and that their task was completed. Currently, the only consultants being used are assisting with compiling the note for irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. The SABC funding model needs to change. If not, SABC will continue experiencing the problems they are experiencing, The staff were also concerned that the audit committee or internal auditors did not know that SABC was in a dire financial situation. The staff also felt strongly that the multi-choice contract was improper, illegal, and must be nullified, and all archives returned to the SABC. The SABC and multi-choice should be ordered to notify the Competition Commission of the acquisition of control arising from the commercial and master channel distribution agreement concluded between SABC and multi-choice in 2013. Further or alternative relief that the SABC and multi-choice within 14 days of the tribunal hearing to produce all documentation, minutes, internal memorandums, etc., concerning the multi-choice agreement negotiations, and also that the tribunal should direct the Competition Commission within 30 days from the date upon which the SABC and Multitrack produced the said document for the Commission to consider such and file a report with the tribunal recommending whether or not Multitrack's agreement gives rise to notifiable change of control.
Members, we have an hour now to deal with this report with minutes. With the study tour. So I'm not sure if we this reading we need more of it. Can't we read ourselves? We should have done that maybe earlier. But what do we do? Can make suggestions?
I think, Chair, you are right, your decision. We can just look at the recommendation.
Yes.
The reading, the report is what we know and what we have gone through.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you go to the area that needs all of us? Reading, we can read silently. Can you go to the areas where we need to take decisions?
Thank you, Chairperson. If you go to page 29, section 10, which says observation and recommendations, and then there's 10.1 on observations. In relation to GCIS, the committee commended the dedication displayed by staff of both the GCIS and the department. The committee noted that all issues raised by staff members were genuine concerns. The committee thanked staff for continuing with their work irrespective of the challenges. The committee informed staff it was aware that the department was underfunded and committed to assisting the department with its funding challenges. In relation to MDDA, the committee noted with great concern that over the past year, MDDA had only revised two cosmetic policies and the MDDA board had not dealt with employee component before developing a new strategy. The committee had serious concern with the reporting of MDDA and strongly felt that matters raised by staff were contradictory to what had been reported to Parliament. The staff had made serious allegations on serious matters that talked to the limited budget of the entity, such as approval of projects without following due processes. The committee was concerned that staff were scared to raise their concerns for fear of victimizations. The committee condemned the board and executive management failure to communicate properly the funding challenges with staff members and the allegation by staff members that their telephones were tapped. The committee instructed the board and executive management to reform from such unacceptable behavior. The committee warned the executive management and board that no staff member should be victimized for raising concerns, whether with the committee, the board, or with the executive management. The committee expressed its dissatisfaction with board and management responses and resolved that MDDA should provide a comprehensive report in response to all matters by staff members by 2 May. In relation to CASA, the committee was concerned that staff members had to go on strike in order to be listened to by council and executive management. The committee appreciated the manner in which staff engaged with the committee and ensured staff that the committee would intervene and no staff would be victimized as a result of what was said in the meeting. The committee noted with concern the arrogant responses by council. The committee was concerned that council and executive management had not met with staff members following the strike, although they were swift in deducting the no work, no pay, and that no effort was made to call staff and take them through the details of the settlement agreement. The committee resolved that ICASA should provide detailed response to staff by no later than 2nd May 2017. In relation to the Film and Publications Board, the committee noted with great concern that some of the matters raised by staff during the 2014 oversight visit had not been resolved. The committee requested that the executive management provide comprehensive responses. In relation to the SABC, the committee noted its concern that staff members almost in all departments were very unhappy. There was a lack of communication, particularly from the management side. Staff were subject to victimization when they raised issues with management, and management had an arrogant attitude which did not assist in taking the SABC forward. The committee commended the commitment expressed by interim SABC board. The committee undertook to provide all the necessary support to the interim board in order for it to implement its mandate. The committee requested that the SABC executive management provides all responses to staff no later than 2 May 2017. Section 10.2, which is recommendation, reads the responses by ICASA FPB and MDDA. ICASA FPB MDDA are contained as annexures 1 to 4 of this report. Honorable members, these responses are the ones that I had read when I was reading through the LUTs as the responses from the executive management. Hence, the committee recommendation says that the minister should provide a detailed report on all concerns that were raised by staff members and the responses which are contained in this report that were received from the executive management of the above-mentioned entities within a month after the adoption of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, members, those are the observations and the recommendations tabled to the committee. Anything on the entire report, recommendations, so that we step off this report? Nothing? Agreed? So the report is now ours as the committee. We'll the recommendations are endorsed and the report is endorsed. Okay? Yeah? Well, they need the record of who moves and who second. Honorable Dolash moves. Record. Right. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chair, I second.
Members, quickly, I think we need to go to the let's go to the study talk first, so that we are done with the reports, and then we'll go to the minutes later. Where is the person who's dealing? Where is the researcher? Minutes of the 2nd May, 2017, with our old minutes.
What
page 3. Page 4. Move back. Honorable Panda.
I move, Chair.
The adoption of the minutes of the 2nd May, 2017. Thank you very much, Honorable Panda. The second, Honorable Masnucho. Can you second the minutes of the
Thank you, Chair.
May.
I'll second the minutes.
Thank you.
That's May, and then we go to the 3rd of May, page 1, page 2, page 3. We are looking at the minutes, and they are definitely not on your phones. Page 4. Page 5. Any mover? Honorable Tolaje?
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
In the seconder, thank you very much. In the seconder?
And I'm
Chair, I'll second.
Honorable Van Dijk, second. To go to the 9th. 9 May, page 1. 9th of May, do we have those minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, page 1.
Yes, sir.
Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. These are the minutes of the 9th May, 2017. Any mover?
I move for adoption.
Can Honorable Kalag move the adoption? Second? Second? Honorable Funda? Funda? Thank you. 10th May. Can you again if phones? Please. Let's focus. These minutes are too many. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Any mover? Honorable Machoba?
I move to the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. Second up, Honorable Tolaje?
I second the adoption of the minutes.
Ingebon. 16 May 2017. You must never have minutes like so many like this. Okay. 16 May, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Mover.
Move, Chair, for the adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Kalako. Honorable Mucho. Thank you very much. May 23. page 1. Saskona song mus quite work on not Dudley. Honorable Dudley. Page 2. Montelash. Montelash is 23. On apologies, is there any dollar share there? And there is, her name is not there. And Kumubele. What happened? So you were not here. Where are the apologies?
There are no apologies. They don't have any apologies in this place.
Okay. Where are the apologies? Item apologies? But now we're on minutes. Where are the apologies? How do you know that she was not there?
Chair, you remember that we read apologies in the meeting, and for members that are not in the meeting, then they would not, and there's no apology, then there's nothing that we read from you, and they would not reflect on the minutes. However, the chairperson wants us to...
No, it's not about me wanting, it's about the record of the meeting. There is no, there must be no minutes that doesn't reflect, that do not reflect the apology, because it's a record of the meeting. We must do that. If they are not there under apologies, do you really think that I mean, everybody doesn't, who's not in the meeting, doesn't submit the apology. Honorable Macho?
Yes, sir. I think that this thing happened even to me last time. When I read the minutes, my name was not reflected anywhere. But I blame my secretary, because sometimes our secretary doesn't forward our apology. I don't want to blame the secretary, but sometimes the problem lies to our secretary.
Yes. Okay. Montelash? Yes. Even if it's the problem of secretaries, I think in terms of minutes, we reflect the present, we reflect the apologies, we reflect the opening, and all those things that are supposed to reflect. So we'll have to do that. It may not have happened in the past, but I think we must reflect that. So that the record speaks for itself. Like now, we can't go to the minute, to the records where there were apologies. We rely on minutes. We rely on this document. Okay. Page
right.
2. Of on this, we are still on 10. This guy. Page 2. Page 3. And page 4. Any mover? Honorable Kalabi. Honorable Kalabi, yes. Move. Honor. Seconder.
Second the mover.
Thank you very much, Honourable Marshall. 30th May, and the other thing we must check that those who move and second must reflect in the minutes, Motoba and Kalako are there here. So because that one also is important. Page one. So Tolas is not there again, and Kungubel is there. Page two. Okay.
This thing must be, we must rectify this thing, because this is a bad image. Because you always get the apology of Umamudolash. I think this is it must be the last.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Page two. Page three. Page four. Move on. Honorable Machado.
Thank you, Chair. I'm moving for the adoption of the minutes.
And Van Dijk and Van Dam were present. So they can move. Honorable Van Dam. Thank you. Tell it. We're done with minutes. And these are May minutes. Meaning we have June, July, August, September, October. So we have June, August, September. Outstanding. So we have a lot of minutes outstanding. Can those minutes be ready? Because sometimes we come to the meeting and we finish before time. We must utilize such times to deal with minutes. They must always be there so that we just dispose of when we have time. Can we go to the last item? Chapter 26. The last item will be the study tour presentation. Why do I have two reports? Did it say? Okay. Researcher, can you take us through? Remember, members, we agreed some time ago that we have to undertake a study tour so that we learn best practices, especially on this DTT. It's very clear that after receiving the report, we can't do it this year. It will have to be something of next year. I think that's the understanding of all of us. We're sitting in October, end of October, and we'll have to do that because we're left with 1 month. We'll have to do that next year. But the presentation, we need it. So that we take a decision as to which country we are going to, but also look at the season. Because in other countries, it's just terrible this time. Whilst it's winter with us, other countries is very, very cold. So we will have to look at that next year. Over to you, Research.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chair, good morning, afternoon, honorable members. Just to briefly go through the study tour proposal and not report. Firstly, the proposal suggests 5 countries. These countries are the UK, Germany, Australia, and then within the SADC region, it's Tanzania and Mauritius. Just to kick it off as well, the proposal is based on a desktop study with random sampling technique utilized in order to select countries with relevant experience in broadcasting and broadcast regulation so that we are able to assess the communication needs of the country in the field of broadcasting. The proposal starts off by setting out the importance of parliamentary oversight and then also touches on specifically the economic background of the countries suggested. Firstly, the UK, a leading trade power and financial center, which is the third largest economy in Europe after Germany and France. And over the past 2 decades, the government has greatly reduced public ownership and contained the growth of social welfare programs there. With regards to Australia, also has the country has a vibrant economy and has recorded impressive economic progress unmarred by recession for more than 25 years. Germany, the largest national economy in Europe and the fourth largest by nominal GDP in the world and the fifth largest GDP per capita based on purchasing power parity and is also the founding member of both the European Union and Eurozone. Mauritius has a vibrant and growing financial services sector and is also the one of the most important contributors to the Mauritian economy. The country is also heading towards a service-orientated and innovation-driven economy. And then Tanzania is the 10th largest economy on the African continent with a GDP of $49 billion. Now, the proposal focuses on 3 main areas. The first one being technological innovations in broadcasting, particularly digital migration, and digital migration, as we all know, is at the cutting edge of technological innovation. Now, one of the advantages of digital migration is the digital dividend, which refers to the spectrum freed up as a result of migrating to digital. Now Australia, for example, has used the spectrum that has been freed up to improve broadband access, and also they are now exploring 3D TV for public broadcasting. In the UK, there has been a great uptake of digital TV as opposed to satellite and cable. And DTT has also improved economic activity as it helps deliver £3 billion of TV sector revenue. Tanzania and Mauritius were the first countries on the continent and within the SADC region to migrate to digital terrestrial television, and they were the first to meet the ITU deadline of June 2015. There was also overwhelming uptake in the set-top boxes in both countries, but particularly in Mauritius, where the set-top boxes were, or acquisition of set-top boxes was highly subsidized. And then with regards to the German public broadcaster, they've managed to now broadcast in both standard definition and high definition, and 92.3% of the households in Germany use only digital signals for their TV consumption. The second thing that the proposal focuses on is the issue of funding public broadcasting. If I can just get to the page. Now, internationally, public broadcasting traditional funding sources include government grants, license fees, and advertising, and these funding areas are under threat, particularly the advertising aspect. In the SABC annual report for the year 2015-16, for example, the SABC reported advertising as its biggest source of revenue, followed by license fees and government grants. The revenue collected through advertising was 5.9 billion, whilst the license and government grants were 986 million and 212 million respectively. Now the countries that I focus on here have somewhat innovative funding models and approaches. Australia is the one country where the national broadcasters are fully funded by through government grants, and license fees I think were abolished or remained until 1973. With regards to the UK has managed to make a success in license fee collection. Currently, 94% of the UK's 25 million homes and businesses pay a license of £145 per year. The BBC license fee income funds both radio and online services, as well the domestic television services. This license fee is also voted upon in the British Parliament. With regard to Germany, they also utilize a license fee, but also they focus more on cross subsidization, and with much of their spending focusing on programming. With regard to Tanzania, the funding is from sums appropriated by Parliament, the fees and charges levied for goods and services. The money is provided by grants made available to the public broadcaster, and the money is received from commercial activities such as consulting or leasing property or equipment. Monies from the funds were also utilized to establish the public broadcast. So with regards to Mauritius, the funding is predominantly from license fee, which is 60%, and 40% being from advertising. Now, with regards to the another theme is the issue of regulation. Now, as conversion becomes more of a reality, there's a need for a strong what do you call it communications regulator, and we all know the ICT white paper makes what some people might call a bold suggestions with regards to the future of this current regulator, which is ICASA as we know it. So some of the activities that are suggested in the proposal is engaging with the various communications regulators of the different countries, engaging with the different communications ministries, and getting an idea of how the countries have managed to successfully migrate to DTT, but particularly also Tanzania and Mauritius. We know that within the SADC region, particularly the countries that border South Africa, Namibia and Zambia have successfully migrated, but with Zambia the country relied on sort of a commercial entity to create a digital platform for them, whereas with Namibia, they started the entire BTT migration process from scratch. But the DTT is, or digital TV has, it seems to be failing in Namibia as a result of the dominance of multi-choice, and also as a result of the lack of consultation and the lack of a public awareness campaign with regards to what this DTT is. And this is the approach that then South Africa has taken to have a big public awareness campaign, but of course the issue of funding is still a challenge. And yeah, I will leave it at that, Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you.
That's the report. For Congress, Australia, England, Germany, Mauritius, Tanzania, 5. Yeah, so those are the countries. Remember, England and Germany are neighbors and they are in Europe. Australia is another direction. Tanzania is here in Africa. Mauritius is also same area. But what we need to do is to look at the country that will best get assistance in terms of learning practices or best practices, so that we can better understand what other countries do in terms of the space we are in as South Africa. We're not doing it this year. We're doing it next year. First quarter next year, for sure. But everything else needs to be done as we go to December, in terms of once we agree in the country, and then we'll have to start the processes of applying. We don't just go. We submit our proposal to the Speaker's office via the Chair of Chairs. So we'll have to do that as soon as possible. Honourable Mashaba.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just going back to your proposal about the weather. In any country we will choose, because I'm not choosing any country by now. I'm just checking what is the weather to those countries as from January. But there is the relevant one for the learning, because it's not about to go there to see the country. It's just to get more information about for the community.
Yeah, no, your last part is a very important one. Let's look at the country, look at where we can learn, and then the questions of whether and when then follows. Honorable Ponda, your hand was up.
Chair, I was going to suggest two countries, maybe one in Africa and then one somewhere else, so we can compare and contrast. But I do know it's in UK and Germany in January, it's very, very cold. So maybe we can start either in Mauritius or Tanzania and go there, or go there first and come back to the heat. But I'd suggest contrasting two different continents so we can see both examples.
Is that possible? That we are allowed to go to... Yes, but it's fine. Your proposal is fine. We'll have to explore all those things. Honorable Dolas? But that talks to what is there in terms of the proposal of the researcher. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me support my leader in terms of choosing this country. I support Australia. And we cannot look at the weather as such thing. If we are there to learn, we can bring all the warm clothes so that we can go what we want to achieve.
Okay. Honorable Funda?
If it's not possible to do two countries,
yes.
I support Honorable Dolashe to do Australia. And often what you'll find that in one country they'll have lots of different examples of broadcasters. We can see they probably have state-owned, private-owned, hybrid,
yes.
So we can see in one country different ones.
All right. But also let's explore that my Europe issue. I'm not sure, we just have to check what can we learn in England and what can we learn in Germany. Because the beauty about England and Germany, you can do two countries in one trip without a major cost, because you take a train to Germany. Let's also look at that you take 3 days in Britain or England, and then you take a stroll to Germany. Two beds, one stone. Or we look at different countries. In case we have a problem of approval of two countries that are poles apart. But I think researcher may advise, because that's the only country or that's the only area where we can go one trip, England and Germany. But others will have to do. But what we get in England and what we get in Germany, in terms of your research, you'll have to advise us.
Thank you, Chair. First, I think I'd like to emphasize what Honorable Van Damme just said, that, and Honorable Machoba just said, and Mam Dolash, that there's a need for also a continental perspective. So I would definitely suggest either Tanzania or Mauritius, given that they have been in the forefront of, you know, digital migration in the country, but also, I mean, for example, Mauritius had planned over 20 years had planned their migration process for over 20 years, but also, you know, beat their own sort of and beat their own deadline that the deadline said. And I think also given that the former Minister of Communications, Honorable Mutambi had, thank you, ma'am. had signed treaties with countries that bought, that you know, within the borders of the country to diffuse a situation of frequency interference. I think Tanzania and Mauritius would give a great perspective as to, you know, how they did it. Particularly also Mauritius, given that it's a growing economy and not as big as, you know, the South African economy. With regards to UK and Germany and Australia, I think all three countries give an interesting perspective, particularly when it comes. With regards to the UK, Germany, and Australia, I think importantly, all three countries give a great perspective with regards to funding public broadcasting. They have interesting funding models. For one, Australia, with in funding, you know, public broadcasting entirely from the public purse and not opting for the route of license fees. But also we've seen, for example, with now the Film and Publications Amendment Bill, that it's a sort of an example with regards to policy, particularly on content regulation for many countries. And the Film and Publications Amendment Bill is precisely based on Australian legislation. I think also convergence is becoming a reality, and all three countries as well have strong communications regulators. And again, the ICT white paper gives a totally different perspective, where leading countries are opting for having one strong communications regulator. We have an ICT white paper that says perhaps this is not working for us, and we rather split the authority and have an economic regulator, and also have a regulator that would then focus on postal and telecommunications. So with regards to UK, Germany, Australia, I don't think either country would be a mistake, but then, you know, Australia would be ideal.
Australia would be ideal?
Yes, sir.
Over all of them?
Over UK and Germany. I mean, the previous committee had previously visited, and I know this is a new committee, but I think, yes, Chair, yes.
So firmly your proposal in terms of everything is Australia.
Australia and Mauritius.
And then in the inside that it's Mauritius.
Yes.
Then we'll have to decide which country we go. Because we can't go to both.
Not because
you want to go to
Australia.
Yes, no. Okay. Right. So that when they apply and then they communicate, I know what the committee is. Yeah. Okay. So it will be we're applying for Australia as number one, Mauritius. In fact, both of them, Australia and Mauritius. And then if I engage them, then your priority will be Australia. Okay? And we talk next year. Members, can we, before we go, just to keep you a few minutes, there is, according to the program, there is a meeting on Friday. I think two Fridays have been a problem. And I really think that we need, much as it is a committee day, but practically it proves to be a problem. But what is important this coming Friday is FPP. It's FPB, the bill, and BRRR. So I was saying the problem is on Thursday it's party caucus in the morning, and then in the afternoon it's a sitting. So looking at the week, we don't have another opening.
in terms of rescheduling Friday to Thursday or tomorrow. And another complication is that the two members, Teddy and Kongzela, they have started something with the inquiry with ESCOM. So we'll have to decide as to what we do, members, for this coming Friday. Yes, Honourable Panda?
Anyway,
even if your hand is not up, I know when you want to talk.
Is there any way we can move it to next week? We could either, I don't know if other members are available on Wednesday. So I think Wednesday 25.
Let's request Wednesday next week and do avoid this coming Friday. Done with that. SABC, I don't know how many, because it's no longer SABC. Let us say that we call them SABC until we meet them. Because when we meet them, this thing must stop. One is another, which is called the
none. So we'll have to meet them. They are no longer eight, and the Sun Offender is no longer there. May his soul rest in peace. And I'm told another journalist is no longer with them. So it's no longer SABC 8. Pimau, Mwasa, have conducted us, and ICTU has conducted us, CW has conducted us. We need to take a decision because it will be many. We've opened it, but all the groups will come from that sector. So we'll have to take a decision as to what do we do in terms of meeting the groups. Because all of them heard that SABC is coming in Bimau, they communicated, they want to see us. It's some kind of a public, what is it? Public hearing now. Honorable Tolash?
Yes. I want us to suggest that let's meet them one day.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think meeting them, we can't change, but it will be for the last time. Now, they, I don't know what, how is your Thursday? Because they are indicating, because we said to them, next week we can meet, but we'll have to agree on the day, because it will be like a public hearing. Honourable Fanda,
thanks, Chair. I agree with Honourable Dolash's suggestion. The first, are you talking about Thursday, 26th?
Next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be able to. We've got a meeting from 9:30 to 1:00. Maybe we can meet them in the afternoon.
What?
And then there's a plenary then.
What do you have? It's plenary in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Can we request Monday, Thursday?
Yeah.
From our leadership in terms of parties, so that we are not part of the caucus.
Yeah.
We can start now to talk to them,
mm-hmm.
to say, give us that Thursday.
Morning.
and then we schedule the meeting with them. Agreed? Next week. That will be subject to confirmation, the members. Can we? The committee program is changing a lot, and I think as we change it, we need to communicate. One day, I mean, terminals. We need to communicate because now it is just changed completely. For me, those were the few issues that were outstanding. And time now. 2 minutes to go. Anything else? Honorable Dolasha? Honorable Machoba? Tomorrow is Wednesday. What is that? How does the program look like? What is it? What does it say? The program. So there is nothing in terms of the committee, but there is plenary in the afternoon. Eh? Honorable,
yeah. Yeah, I just want to again ask with regard to Filament Publications, the information that they were supposed to give us, send us. They said that it will be there on Monday, 10 o'clock. And then the other question I would like to know, what is the status of the investigation of the three, yourself and Mr. Honorable Kulakta, with regards to the NDDA? What decision have you taken?
I would like to, because it's legal services who put in, talk to the mic.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the Secretariat Office is trying very hard to get hold of legal services. We understand there's a matter of public enterprises that started today. They are committee that have a number of legislation before them, but we are pushing to get them to meet with the Chairperson and the whip, hopefully in the week.
And honorable Fandam.
Yes, hopefully in this week.
Yeah, I think let's push this thing because we tried when we last week, but after that, and then everything was loose again. But it must be prioritized because it's a matter of a few minutes meeting them. F.P. Birbat is available. Where is it? Okay. We'll it will be circulated as soon as it's because the Chairperson's office does have it, and then it will be circulated to members. Ikona Yindo? Yes. I know closure has been proposed, but there are things that the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. With the inclusion of Wednesday. And Thursday next week, I just wanted the committee to be aware then that the committee next week will be meeting from Tuesday until Friday. Tuesday is a joint meeting with PC on Telecoms and Postal Services on Broadcasting Digital Migration Policy, which is DTT. On Wednesday is the meeting that was scheduled for this Friday, which is the Filament Publications Board. And on Thursday, the 26th, is the meeting that's just been proposed with the unions and the SAPC 8. And on Friday, the briefing by the SAPC on its 2017-18 first quarter report, not unless the committee wants to give some time. Thank you.
No, we'll have to, we've just decided that Friday is our public. So we'll have to rearrange when, take them to the other week. Okay. Thank you very much, members. The closure is proposed. Ubanutin. Second. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. That's the thing.